Hello, and welcome to the second edition of The Sound of Musicals, our monthly podcast dedicated to all types of recordings of musical theater, stage casts, film soundtracks, studio casts, etc., etc., etc. And that, I think, is a appropriate word for this week's podcast, because I recently took part in a program called The King and I, From Book to Stage to Film, at the Leonard Nimoy Thalia Theater at Symphony Space. The program was moderated by Ted Chapin of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization. It featured performances by Karen Ziemba and Francis Ju, and a special appearance by Marnie Nixon, who was the voice of singing voice of Deborah Carr in the film version of The King and I. I think it was a really wonderful program, and it was a privilege to have Marnie there. And I realized in doing the program how many wonderful, really terrific recordings of The King and I there are, as is the case with many of the, well, all of the scores by Rodgers and Hammerstein. So I thought we could today look back on some of those recordings, not all, because we'd be here for 5 hours, but some of the best of them. So let's start with the original Broadway cast recording, 1951 on the Decca label. The King and I think it's fair to say that the power behind The King and I was Gertrude Lawrence, the great star. She and or her representatives had the idea that a musical version of the original story would be a very good property for her. And let me step back a minute. The story of The King and I began as a basically true story, an autobiography written by a woman named Anna Leon Owens, who went to teach the children and the wives of the King of Siam in the 1860s. She was a British woman, basically, although her lineage actually is kind of complex. But anyway, she wrote a book, two books actually, about her experiences in Siam. And they were, years later, served as the basis for a novel by Margaret Landon called Anna and the King of Siam. And that was the, and that in turn served as the basis for a 1946 film of the same title that starred Irene Dunne and Rex Harrison. And that was a 20th Century Fox film. And as I said, so basically, Gertrude Lawrence, on the basis of the books and the film, thought that The King and I would be a wonderful musical for her, and she brought the project to Rodgers and Hammerstein, and they agreed to write it. And they did, and did a really amazing job. I have always said that King and I is one of my really top favorite musicals of all time. I think I still would put it in the top three or so, and that is really quite something when you think of all the unbelievably beautiful, wonderful musicals that have been written over the decades. Anyway, Rodgers and Hammerstein did agree to write The King and I for Gertrude Lawrence to star as Anna. Now, Gertrude Lawrence was a very, very famous and popular and beloved star at the time, but she was not known primarily for the quality of her singing voice. It was really more her charisma on stage and her acting ability and this wonderful presence that she had. So when Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote The King and I, they did keep her vocal limitations in mind. And one of the songs that they crafted for her is quite a lengthy musical monologue, I guess you would call it, called Shall I Tell You What I Think of You, which is largely spoken, although there is some singing in it as well. So I thought it would be nice to listen to that track from the original Broadway cast recording, because it really does show Gertrude Lawrence at her best. So here is Gertrude Lawrence in Shall I Tell You What I Think of You from the original Broadway cast recording of The King and I.
Because I'm a woman, you think like every woman, I have to be a slave or concubine. You conceited, self-indulgent, libertine, libertine. How I wish I'd told him that, right to his face, libertine. And while we're on the subject, sire, there are certain goings-on around this place that I wish to tell you I do not admire. I do not like polygamy or even moderate bigamy. I realize that in your eyes this clearly makes a prigamy. But I am from a civilized land called Wales, where men like you are kept in county jails. In your pursuit of pleasure, you have mistresses who treasure you. They have no ken of other men beside whom they can measure you. A flock of sheep and you the only ram. No wonder you're the wonder of Siam.
The male star of the original Broadway company of The King and I, as I'm sure many, many people realize, was Yul Brynner, who then went on to repeat his role in the film. Yul Brynner pretty much came from nowhere at the time that he was cast in the original show. He actually had a background as an actor, but also as a director in television. But he showed up at audition, and as the legend goes, he just really blew everyone away with his amazing presence and performance at the audition. And so it was one of those, get that guy, that's the guy we want. And from that point on, no one else was really ever discussed for the film. Brynner won a Tony Award for his performance in The King and I, actually, believe it or not, in the supporting category. I guess largely because he was not famous at the time that he went into the show, and that certainly changed later. Then years later, he would go on to win an Academy Award for Best Actor, not supporting, but Best Actor in the film version of The King and I. But before that, he did win a Tony for his performance on stage. And since the film version of The King and I is obviously much more familiar to most people than the original production, I thought it would be nice to hear some of Yul Brynner's recording of his big solo, It's a Puzzlement, from the original recording. So here it is.
There are times I almost think I am not sure of what I absolutely know. Very often find confusion in conclusion I concluded long ago. In my head are many facts that as a student I have studied to procure. In my head are many facts of which I wish I was more certain. I was sure. Is a puzzlement. What to tell a growing son? What, for instance, shall I say to him of women? Shall I educate him on the ancient lines? Shall I tell the boy as far as he is able to respect his wives and love his concubines? Shall I tell him everyone is like the other, and the better one of two is really neither? If I tell him this, I think he won't believe it, and I nearly think I don't believe it either.
Well, that was Yul Brynner from the original cast of The King and I. I forgot to tell a story in reference to Gertrude Lawrence, and it's such a delicious story, I didn't want to skip it. Believe it or not, Noel Coward was considered for the role of the King in The King and I on Broadway. And I'm not sure how far the discussion ever got, but obviously he did not wind up playing the role. It went to Yul Brynner. Noel Coward was friends with Gertrude Lawrence from childhood, and they had worked together many times, most notably in Private Lives, but in other Coward projects and other projects. So they knew each other very, very well. And the story goes that when The King and I was opening on Broadway, Richard Rodgers invited Noel Coward to, I'm not sure if it was a final rehearsal or a preview or an actual performance, but at any rate, they were standing in the back watching the show. And there is a point in the song Hello Young Lovers, which is a really beautiful song that Anna Leonowen sings. And it's a song song. It's not a spoken song. So Gertrude Lawrence, she did a fairly good job with it, but she would have issues when her voice, especially in her higher register, because she wasn't really a trained singer. And so the story goes that Rodgers and Coward were watching this rehearsal or preview or performance of The King and I, and the song Hello Young Lovers started, and the first part of it is very lyrical and not especially high, but then it got towards the end of the song where the vocal pitch rises and it goes to a high note. And as Gertrude Lawrence began to sing that section and got towards the high note, Coward noticed that the orchestra became much heavier to the point where it didn't quite drown her out at the end of the song, but it definitely got much louder, and so to help perhaps obscure anything lacking in her high note. So the story goes that as the song ended, after all that, Coward turned to Richard Rodgers and said, "Wise choice, Dick." So I just think that's a wonderful story. We can just imagine Noel Coward saying that to Richard Rodgers. And again, he deeply loved Gertrude Lawrence. So it was just, it wasn't meant in a nasty way, just as a recognition of her, what her strengths were and what they weren't. Okay, moving on. There are many, as I said, many recordings of this, The King and I, and we're not going to get to all of them, but we're going to get to some of the best. The film version was released in 1956, and so was the soundtrack recording. The film of The King and I stars Deborah Carr and Yul Brynner. Deborah Carr was an amazingly wonderful, incredibly versatile, beautiful actress who was not a singer, but she was so perfect for the part that it was felt that what should be done was that she should be cast as Anna in the film of The King and I, and her singing should be dubbed. And the person chosen to do it was Marnie Nixon. Now, as it turns out, how's this for a story? Someone else had been hired to dub the singing in The King and I film, but that person had been killed in an accident. So that is why Marnie wound up being hired, and she did a stellar job of it. This was, I think it's fair to say, her first famous film dubbing job. She would go on famously to dub for Natalie Wood in West Side Story and for Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. But this was the first big one, and she really worked very closely with Deborah Carr. She said that Deborah Carr was extremely cooperative in working with her to try to bat around ideas, and they would actually work together in rehearsals so that they could get each other's tone of voice down and body language, the energy of the body language that they would share with each other in rehearsals. It's really a wonderful story about how they work together, which, by the way, is recounted along with a lot of other wonderful stories in Marnie's memoir, which is called I Could Have Sung All Night. So you should look for that if you get a chance. It's really terrific. But anyway, one of the songs, one of the most famous songs in The King and I, is Getting to Know You. And it is mostly sung, but it does start out with a section that is meant to be spoken. And then the singing begins. So what we are about to hear is the first section of Getting to Know You from the film soundtrack of The King and I. The first four lines are spoken by Deborah Carr. The next four lines are sung by Marnie Nixon. Then Deborah Carr speaks the line Getting to Know You, and then Marnie Nixon sings the rest of the song. So that is what we're going to hear right now.
It's a very ancient saying, but a true and honest thought, that if you become a teacher, By your pupils you'll be taught. As a teacher I've been learning. You'll forgive me if I boast. And I've now become an expert on the subject I like most. Getting to know you. Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Getting to like you. Getting to hope you like me. Getting to know you. Putting it my way, but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day. Getting to know you, getting to know.
In 1964, there was a production of The King and I at what was then called the New York State Theater at Lincoln Center. Richard Rodgers formed an organization, a producing organization called the Music Theater of Lincoln Center, and he was the head of it. And The King and I, now I forgot to look it up. I'm not sure if it was the first show there. I think it was, but it was one of the first in 1964. And it starred the opera star Rhesa Stevens and the actor Darren McGavin. And from all accounts, it was a really beautiful, lavish production. Rhesa Stevens was a great opera star. Some people might feel that her voice was a little too operatic for The King and I or for music theater in general, but I thought we would play one of the cuts from the RCA Records cast album of that recording, and you can judge for yourself. So here is Rhesa Stevens singing I Whistle a Happy Tune.
You? Sometime.
What do you do?
I whistle.
Oh, that's why you whistle.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune and no one ever knows I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell, for when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. You may be as brave as you make believe you are.
The first Broadway revival of The King and I, if you don't count the Lincoln Center one I just mentioned, was in 1977, and it starred, guess who, Yul Brynner, and Constance Towers, who really was wonderful and did a lovely, lovely job as Anna. It also starred as Lunta Martin Vidnovic, who was a very big Broadway star around that time in several revivals. And June Angela played the role of Tuptim. This is the finest stage cast album of The King and I. The orchestrations sound beautiful. The performances are wonderful. It's quite a complete recording, except that the ballet, The Small House of Uncle Thomas, is not included. But other than that, it's really quite full and quite complete. And I thought we would listen to one of the Tup Tim Lunta duets from that. So here is We Kiss in a Shadow from the 1977 RCA Broadway revival cast album of The King and I. In 1992, a studio cast recording of The King and I was made, and this is an interesting recording in many respects. It featured the orchestrations from the film version of The King and I, not the original stage orchestrations. So that's one thing that's interesting about it. It was conducted by John Mauchery, and The King was played by Ben Kingsley, or sung by Ben Kingsley, and the role of Anna was played by Julie Andrews. And the interesting thing about that is, well, several things. She would have been perfect for the role of Anna at her prime, and she didn't get to record it till some years later, but it's wonderful to have the recording anyway, just because it was always so many people felt that it would have been such a great role for her. And the really disappointing thing is that in 1968, I believe, there was a film made about the life of Gertrude Lawrence called Star. And the star of the film was Julie Andrews. But for whatever reason, that film did not cover the entire life of Gertrude Lawrence, and it ended well before she did The King and I. So this golden opportunity was squandered to not only hear but see Julie Andrews in the role of Anna in at least some excerpts from The King and I in the film of Star. I do not know why that happened. The Star film was another 20th Century Fox film, and they owned the rights, and still own the rights, as far as I know, to The King and I, because they had produced not only the 1946 Anna and the King of Siam, but the 1956 musical film The King and I. So I don't think it was a rights issue. I've heard off the record that Yul Brynner asked for too much money to appear in the excerpts from The King and I that would have been included in Star. But even if that is true, they certainly could have had Julie Andrews do one of the solos. So I'm not sure. Whatever the reason, it is an unfortunate lost opportunity. But we do at least have the recording with Julie Andrews and Ben Kingsley, so you can definitely check that out. And also on that recording is the wonderful opera star Marilyn Horne in the role of Lady Chang, singing an absolutely gorgeous version of Something Wonderful. Marilyn Horne had already had a history with The King and I, because she, early in her career, was a studio singer in Hollywood. And she, believe it or not, is one of the voices in the of the singers in the Small House of Uncle Thomas ballet in the film of The King and I, which is, I think, one of the finest sequences in that film. It's really extraordinary recreation of the ballet as originally conceived and choreographed by Jerome Robbins, who did work on the film directly also. It's not just that someone else recreated his choreography. He did it himself. So that is a really wonderful sequence, and Marilyn Horne is one of the singers in it. I think you can hear her voice on the soundtrack to The King and I. There's a point where she sings the line "Praise to Buddha." There is a solo person singing "Praise to Buddha," and it certainly sounds to me like it's Marilyn Horne. So give that a listen and see if you agree with me. But undisputed is the fact that Marilyn Horne does sing something wonderful on the 1992 studio cast album of The King and I from Philips. It's on the Philips label. So let's give a listen to that right now.
A man who thinks with his heart is not always wise. This is a man who stumbles and falls, but this is a man who tries. This is a man you'll forgive and forgive and help and protect as long as you live. He will not always say what you would
In 1999, there came an animated film version of The King and I, or I guess we should say an adaptation. It is like the original musical in many ways, but there are lots of changes. There are sort of Disney things done to it, there's a dragon in it. There are animals and things of that sort. It was an attempt to make a children's version, I suppose, of The King and I. And it's really not very successful overall, but it does have its moments. And one interesting thing about it is that it includes at least two songs that were not included in the 1956 live action film musical of the version of The King and I. And those two songs are "Shall I Tell You What I Think of You" and the unbelievably beautiful duet "I Have Dreamed." So this is a section of "I Have Dreamed" from the soundtrack of the 1999 animated film The King and I on the Sony label. And this is sung beautifully, I might add, by David Burnham.
Your arms are lovely. I have dreamed what a joy you'll be. I have dreamed every word you whisper when you're close, close to me. How you look in the glow. so that by now I think I know what it's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you.
Okay, so that brings us up to the present day. As I said, we have not covered all the recordings of The King and I. There was a mid-60s studio cast recording with Barbara Cook as Anna, which I'm sorry to say is not very good overall, because the new orchestrations were really not very good, and there are other things about it that just don't really make the grade. But Barbara Cook is Barbara Cook, and she was and is a wonderful artist of the musical theater, so you might want to see if you can track down that recording, if only to hear some of her cuts on it. Actually, one of them is included on a Barbara Cook compilation album, so you can hear that one that way if you can't find the complete recording. And that brings us up to the present day. In 2015, The King and I was revived again at the Vivian Beaumont Theater by Lincoln Center Theater in a sumptuous, beautiful production directed by Bartlett Sher. That production is still running. The original cast was headed of this, that production was headed by Kelly O'Hara as Anna and Ken Watanabe as the King. And it's really something to see and hear. I hope that any of you who have not caught it can still catch up with the production. It is about to the latest cast change is about to feature Maren Mazie in the role of Anna. So I'm pretty sure she's going to be really wonderful in it, and I would try to catch it with her if you can. There is a beautiful cast album of this production made with the original cast on the Decca label, which I think is really wonderful and brings us full circle, because the original Broadway cast album way back in 1951, as I stated, was also Decca. So here to end our program is Kelly O'Hara singing Hello Young Lovers from Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I. Well, that's it. Thank you very much for joining us, and we hope to see you next month.